Well, let's go to Mark, the 11th chapter, and verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, the disciples with Jesus, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. A lot of Bibles have it, and if you check into the original, it literally says, Have the faith of God. Or I like the way it has been said so beautifully and simply, Have the faith of God, have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Verse 26 gives us a very candid, somber teaching here in one verse. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. I believe that in the Sunday morning service, it was said somewhere, it was either said or strongly implied about that you must forgive. And as you know, we had such a marvelous, powerful altar call on Sunday morning. A man came down who owns a business and is a very successful businessman in his particular business. But you know what got him? He said, as he was raised from a little boy, he said his parents and his family always, you know, isn't that something? He said people just spoke down to him. They told him how nothing he was, you know, how zero he was. They just, and that's sad, isn't it? And he said, that's all I heard growing up, that you're not good enough, you're not enough, you're, you know, not enough. Just heard that. And he said, this morning, I released the bitterness of unforgiveness and came to give his life to Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? That happened right here in this auditorium and was related to one of our men. He said, something powerful happened inside of me today that has never happened. He said, no one knew how that thing had been stored up. And no matter how successful you are or how whatever you are, you know, when you do what God said to do, then you're going to have the results that God promised. Now, Jesus is teaching us about prayer that works. How many believe that if we pray, we need to know something about prayer that works? You know, we're not just wasting our time, but prayer that works. And we ministered in the last midweek service, when I pray, miracles happen. When I pray, miracles happen. If you have not written that down, write that down. When I pray, miracles happen. Jesus said in the 11th chapter of Mark's Gospel, verse 17, and he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? Of course, he said, but you've made it a den of thieves. In other words, Jesus said, My house is to be called a house of prayer. Well, do you think Jesus just wants us to stand and speak hollow words that nothing happens? No. A house of prayer where people pray, and when people pray, miracles happen. And then over in the 14th chapter of Mark's Gospel, the 13th chapter, verse 31, he said, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. My words shall not pass away. And then in the 14th chapter of Mark's Gospel, verse 38, Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Now the Lord is warning us, watch and pray. If you don't live alert, if you don't give yourself to prayer, and I'm not talking about hours a day, I'm just talking about, it's amazing what 15 minutes of prayer and 15 minutes in the Word can do to begin a day. It will change your life. It literally will begin to change your life. No wonder the disciples said, teach us to pray. But all of all the wonderful things that is said about prayer, I like two or three or four verses that just put some dynamite truth all together. That just say so much. And that's exactly what we've read to you from Mark, the 11th chapter. Jesus passing by, he saw a fig tree. He was hungry. And he reaches out for fruit. But he found nothing but leaves. Found nothing but leaves. And Jesus said, will no man eat fruit of thee hereafter? And his disciples heard it. Well, the next day they're coming back through the country. And they look at that tree. And behold, that fig tree is dead. Except something very unusual has happened. It's dead from the roots up. I mean, from the time that Jesus walked by and said, no man will eat fruit of you hereafter, from the roots up, that tree was dead. See, Jesus takes two of the most impossible, improbable things that we could think about. Have you moved any mountains lately? Have you spoken any trees lately that died from the roots up? I mean, we're talking about absolute miracles. Now, I know spiritually that he's speaking in the spirit realm. But he's also giving us some strong illustrations that when I pray, miracles happen. Mountains moving from their location into the midst of sea, mountains moving anywhere, is a miracle. And Jesus takes the two most improbable things that could happen, a mountain moving and a tree dying overnight from the roots up. Two of the most impossible, improbable situations, and he uses this as an illustration of prayer, teaching us about prayer that works. Now, when we look at this verse, there's several things that come to our attention. You need to read this until you know it backwards and forward. And the disciples were curious as they always were, and I give that to their credit. But Jesus said to them, in verse 22, in essence, they were wanting to know, how in the world has this happened overnight? I mean, Peter couldn't wait to get back to that tree and see what had happened. And Jesus said, have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. Church, I want to ask you something in this service. Would God say something? Would God say something through Jesus? Would Jesus speak to us something that was totally impossible to do? He has never given us a commandment that was impossible to fulfill. Jesus has never spoken to us about giving, forgiving, believing, prayer, whatever. Jesus has never spoken to us anything that would not work. If there was ever a time that the church must pray prayers that work, it's today. I mean, wake up, church. We are living in the last days. We're living in some shadows of Matthew 24. We're living in some shadows of Luke 21. And the very hallmark of our day was they'd say, well, all things continue as they were from our fathers. Since I was a little bitty boy, I've heard this in Sunday school. You're right, I have. But there'll be a day we'll be out of here. This thing is in the process of winding up. How long? Don't know. Don't know. I'm not a date setter. Smarter than that. Because I don't know. But I'm here to tell you, until we go out of here, we need to know the principles of prayer that works. Prayer that changes things. And when he's speaking of mountains, he's speaking of those impossible, impossible things in our life. I have some things in my life that are impossible. I have some desires and visions and dreams and goals, and even in our own family, there are things that are impossible in the natural. Therefore, I must know the principles of the supernatural. There are things in my life and your life, if I could have changed, I would have changed a long time ago. There are things in this church that I would have changed a long time ago if it was in my power to do it. There are things in my life, things that I desire to see. The best is yet to come. But it's not going to happen just because we desire for that to happen. We're going to have to know the simple dynamic, powerful principles of the Word of God that when I pray, things happen. When I pray, miracles come to pass. Now Jesus said, first of all, have faith in God. Face life in faith. Face your problem in faith. Pray in faith. When we bring people forward on the altar call, they're coming in faith. We do everything within our power to tell them, you can't write a check big enough to be born again. You have to come in faith. When we pray, we're not just coming to fill X number of time, moments. We're coming in faith. When we teach and correct our children, and God knows there's a massive need in the kingdom of God, of parenting in the kingdom of God. We see that in our Christian school. It's heart-touching. The high rate of family breakup and divorce. A lot of kids, I guess they do quite well with what they haven't been taught. And therefore it places a greater challenge on Christian schools and leadership. Folks, we must teach and train our children. God didn't give them to us just to shout and scream at them and tell them how whatever they are, they're not. See, anything we do, I'm up here tonight in faith believing. I believe that these moments that I'm standing before you, that I am, by the power of the Holy Spirit, going to make a difference in your life. I believe that with every fiber of my being. If I did not have somebody else ministering tonight. Everything we do in faith. We tithe in faith. We pray in faith. We live in faith. We abstain from this world system in faith. I'm not weird. I'm not on another planet, but this world cannot satisfy me. The spirit of this world is not what I'm looking for. Light cannot have fellowship with darkness. No way. That's why people think we're a little bit on the edge, because we thank Jesus, we do normal things, and I can have as much fun as anybody and do when I get the opportunity, especially. But I'm telling you, folks, we live in a world, we've got to initiate change in the city in which we live. We've got to stay on the cutting edge of having faith in God to continue to change our church. We're beginning to see some real turnarounds in some strategic areas. But everything we do, it's have faith in God. Have faith in God. We do it in faith. Face your marriage in faith. If you're single, face the single life in faith. God's best is yet to come. Best is yet before me. I mean, if you're having the happiest time of your life, still face it in faith. You can't pull that off by yourself. And if it seems like you're in the most difficult time of your life, face it in faith. Folks, do you understand? There's not one of us in this room, no matter how young or how old we are, we must face life in faith. It's like a jet airliner. The moment you stop facing life in faith, it starts down. The way you keep yourself going ever onward and upward, have faith in God. Now, if it was not possible for us to live a faith life, Jesus would have never said it. He would have said, you know, I know something that would be so good, but you could never do it, so I'm not going to teach you. And I'm not going to put you in a bind there. Now, have faith in God. But he said something else. Jesus said, verily, I say unto you. Folks, this is the word of God. This is the word of Jesus. This is not the Dallas Morning News. This is not the Fort Worth Star Telegram. This is not the Wall Street Journal. This is the word of God. And Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. Mark it. It will happen. Heaven and earth as we know it will pass away. But he said, my words will never pass away. The only sure thing in this universe is the word of God. The only unchanging thing in this universe is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, verily, I say unto you, it's all important. It's all important. But when Jesus says, verily, I say unto you, you need to underscore that two or three times. So we live the faith life. We face life in faith. And we give diligent heed to the fact that Jesus said, verily, I say. thank you for listening to the words I say, but I point you to the words that he says. Verily, I say, you can bank on what Jesus says. You can build your life, your marriage, your business, your personal life, your dreams, your future. You can build it on verily, I say unto you. He wasn't just teaching this, with holy tones and trying to be religious. He said, verily, verily, in verse 23, Mark 11:23, verily, I say unto you. Now, I like the third thing that I'd like to emphasize. He said, whosoever. Turn to the person next to you and say, we're whosoever's. You're a whosoever. I'm a whosoever. We are whosoever. And he's assuming here that you're a believer if you're a whosoever. This is not a person of the world or something. You're a whosoever. Oh, God, let us get this. I mean, this thing's just been burned in my heart for several hours. A whosoever can have whatsoever. A whosoever. There's a hot spot over here. I mean, some of you got your receivers up. A whosoever can have a whatsoever. So how many whosoevers do we have here tonight? Born again believers. Whosoever. Whosoever. See, that's, you say, well, who is the gospel for? Whosoever. A whosoever. You say, that doesn't sound very pretty. It sounds beautiful to me. I'm a whosoever. I am a whosoever. So Jesus, in teaching them the principles of how mountains move and how trees die from the root up, and you know that's what needs to happen in our lives with the flesh, lust, sin, from the root up. Not just let the leaves fall. Let that sucker die from the root up. And know that it was nailed to the cross 2,000 years ago. The truth of it is every sin, every weakness, every lie, every craziness of life, let it die from the root up. Because when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, when he said, it is finished, the work was done. When Jesus said, it is finished, the work was done. So let's stay with it. Have faith in God. It's all faith. Face everything in your life in faith. Number two, Jesus is teaching. He said, verily I say unto you. Number three, whosoever, whosoever, we are whosoever's. But then he goes to the fourth thing that's in these verses. A whosoever has deep desires. You see, when we're a godly whosoever, we have the desires of God. You see, the Muslim religion is a religion of hate, bloodshed, violence. The religion, if I could reverently say it, of Jesus is of love and faith. Love and faith. We don't say if you're not a Christian, we'd like to kill you. If you're not a Christian, we'd like to see you born again. We'd like to see you have eternal life. I mean, the stark contrast is there, folks. I mean, the veil has been pulled away. The curtain is open. The stage is, there's nothing hidden on the stage of that religion. Jesus was the spotless, sinless Son, pure of Son of the living God. He didn't have to go to the cross. He went to the cross for us. And when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He did it for us. And you know, when we follow him, that's why we need to read the word, that you have godly desires. Godly desires. That you desire for your mate, for your children, for the friends in your life. You desire good things for them, not bad things. You desire good things for them. If you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? That verse has been rolling over into my heart and I see it in a new way. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Let the words of my mouth, which are prompted by the meditations of my heart. I said it, but I didn't mean it. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart. Oh, when our heart is on the things of God, then the words of our mouth are words of faith and hope and love and encouragement. Words that lift, not words that put down. Godly desires. Have God's word for your desires. And then he went further to say, all right, you have godly desires. Find out what my word says. Believe. Believe. Believe in your heart. Believe. Believe. But shall believe. Verse 23. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Why did he say? Because he believed. I have believed and therefore have I spoken. Believe in your heart. 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 I was just meditating. You hear me say it. Some of you know it as well as I do. Just thinking about all the things that God's done. Impossible. You see, it's impossible for mountains to be moved. It's impossible for trees to die from the roots up. In the natural, that's impossible. But it happened. I think in 1964, it was impossible for us to begin. Impossible. Can't tell you how impossible it was. But I just knew, glory to God. I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew. You couldn't tell me anything. Praise God. I had some people try to tell me and emphasize the impossible. But I said, it's not impossible with God. Not impossible with God. I'm just thinking about the Jesus hippie revival that happened in 70. There's a lot more being said about that now all of a sudden. It's been several years. Winky Pratney, who was a part of that, and Barry McGuire, who was a part of that. It's amazing the things that happen. But, I mean, here you are, just an average, sleepy, small church, and all of a sudden, suddenly, when you cry out anything that works, anything that's right, and the God of the impossible made the impossible to become possible. I've tasted of something. You have too. But you know, you need to go back and meditate. The times when it was totally impossible, but God made a way where there seemed to be no way. Well, go one better. God made a way where there was no way. It was impossible in 1976 to come downtown and to buy that building, to start the process. Impossible. Totally impossible. I look back and I think, What was going on in you, boy? I can tell you what was going on. It was the Word of God. Now, I only use that as a point of illustration. Every one of you have that mountain-moving faith. It's in you. That's your DNA. And if it's not happening in some semblance, you haven't stirred it up. I'm here to stir you up. Inside of you, there is mountain-moving faith. Faith that moves the impossible, the improbable, the unusual. It was impossible, but God made a way. Stories I still haven't told about that time and that era that were so totally impossible. It's a miracle of God. I kept my mind during it. Well, it was stayed on the Lord. I just had to stay in the Word. Impossible, but God made a way. It was impossible in 93 to see God do what God did. When people say, you know, people just don't go to church anymore. You know, we made a very, in my estimation, I'm still not accustomed to it. I still think Thursday. We made a massive move. Because a lot of folks said, we'll be there if it's on Wednesday night. I ain't seen them yet. I'm looking for them, but I just, you know. It was a cop-out. It was an excuse. We can stay home and watch television. We can do this. We can do that. We can do something else. Folks, I'm telling you, it's time to get gut serious about the things of God. It's time we've got to lay the axe at the root of the tree. We've got to give it our best. And God has always given it His best. Impossible. But in 93, God sent a South African evangelist. Crossed the grain of everything in the house. But you know, you were there. You saw. I know what people can do. You can't tell me. I've had preachers say, boy, you sure got guts to have church on. Are you sure brave to have church on Sunday night? I said, one thing I've never been accused of, and that's been short on guts and some faith. Somebody's got to blow a whistle. We are in the process of seeing God do some things. This is not a 45-minute Sunday morning deal. It's not. I mean, I know some people live distances away. Not everyone can come. But I'm telling you, the Bible still says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need God more today. I need God more today. This church needs God more today. We need the things of God more today. You realize while we're driving our shiny wheels around and buzzing up and down the freeway, and I know the political parties are crying foul and all that, but there's prosperity on. I mean, you may not be getting your full share of it, but there's a lot. Our nation is prosperous. But that doesn't mean we're in revival. That doesn't mean we've got to have a revival that shakes people to their roots. Where things are not their God. Impossible. I have been. You have been. We have been in that place of the impossible. And we've seen God do what only God can do. I mean, when you do your best, you can count on God. He always has done His best. 93, God did it. You say you're trying to go back to 93? No, I want to surpass 93. Amen. But I'm going to... You know, I've had people make fun of that. You just forget it. Just go howl at the moon somewhere else. I know what time of day it is. I know what my Bible says. I know what my God can do. I know that God is a God of the impossible. God is a God of the joyful sound. God is God. Don't live your life by your flaky relatives or by the news media or by fear or whatever, live it by the Word of God. Impossible. Impossible. Oh, 95, it was impossible for that television station to begin to come together over in Uganda. But God's a God of the impossible. 2000, it was impossible. Statistics, hardly 50% of any institutions, church or whatever, ever come back from a total tragedy. It's a long road back, and we're still on some of that road. But what was impossible, God did not quit. God did not give up. And I'm telling you, just coming right on up to the day in which we live, we serve a God of the impossible. We serve a God of the impossible. God, any rivers you think are uncrossable, any mountains you can't tunnel through, God specializes in things thought impossible. You look at field ministries like Brother John, and I talk to field ministries, unless you're out in your own revival, doing your own thing. But I mean, field ministries have really taken a hit, because all some churches ever do is a little dab on Sunday morning, and it's such a small dab, it doesn't have room for field ministry. And here are men and women with great talents and gifts and giftings and ability. Well, we just won't go there, but I still believe that we serve a God of the impossible. There's a market for what God has placed in you. There's a market for the gifts and the callings that God has placed in you and every other man and woman of God out there. Thank God, I know we live in a day of this, that, and whatever. We live in a day of slick copy. Sometimes I shake my head at what people get turned on to. I think, my God, do people have any discernment at all? But I'm hearing some encouraging things breaking through. And I'm going to keep on preaching the truth. I'm going to keep on believing the truth. I'm going to preach things that cross grain when God says to. And we're going to stand and we're going to withstand. And I'll tell you in the name of Jesus, there's no shortage on sinners. There's no shortage on people that need God. You can run out for your little dab that'll do you. But I'm telling you, we're gut serious. We're serious about the things of God in Calvary Cathedral International. And we're planting seeds. We've planted seeds in our time of need. Done it since the tornado time and time again. We've done that. I want you to get this verse so in your spirit that you'll get angry if Satan brings up anything to the contrary. Believe in your heart. That's what you got to do. You don't just, yes, Brother Nichols, we agree with, no, believe in your heart. Settle it in your heart. Settle in your heart. Prayer is real. Faith is real. God is real. The Holy Ghost is real. The harvest is real. The only answer to our world is God. Say, speak with your mouth. Speak with your mouth. Speak with your mouth. Speak with your mouth. I have believed and therefore have I spoken. All of this is in Mark 11, 22 through 26. And shall not doubt in his heart. Now, let me tell you what happens on this. We'd all like to say, I've never doubted in my heart. No, we all get off on that trail every once in a while. We all get off on that trail. I heard a minister, he said his wife's usually a very happy-go-lucky, you know, kind person and all that. And he said, he woke up one morning and he said, I knew something was wrong with my wife. And she didn't say anything. She didn't have anything to say. We had our coffee, but she wasn't talking. And finally he said, honey, what in the world's wrong? She said, you'll never believe what you did to me. He said, when? She said, I had a dream last night. She said, I was out there in the wind and I was trying to get in the car and you'd move the car every time I'd reach out to get the door and you'd back it up again and I'd reach out to get the door. She said, every time I think about it, it just makes me livid. He said, honey, it's a dream. Chill. It's only a dream. It's a dream. But you'll know. Finally, she said, I got the door open and you just drove off and left me there. He said, honey, chill. It was only a dream. It was not. She said, you just don't know how it feels to be treated like that. He said, it took her 24 hours for that dream to wear off. Finally, I just kept trying to explain it to her, but he said, there's some things you can't explain. I mean, when a woman's upset, you just let her settle down, you know. Just some things you don't mess with until it all gets settled down. Honey, it was only a dream, but you... So Jesus gives us... Honey, it was only a dream. Chill. Okay, let's do a wrap here. Jesus gives us two of the most impossible illustrations. Mountains moving and trees dying from the roots up. Now he teaches us that a whosoever... can have a whatsoever. A whosoever. I know that's being utterly simplistic, but that's what the word says. A whosoever can have a whatsoever. Whatsoever? Whatsoever he believes or she believes with all of her heart. So much that she speaks it in prayer. She speaks it to one another. Thirdly, God's secret to making the impossible possible. Is this have faith in God. Nothing in your life that can't be changed. May not change overnight. You know, you dig in. Sometimes you have to dig out. Sometimes God lets us dig out so we won't forget where we dug in. You say, how do you know? I've been there. Yeah. Sometimes God lets you dig out. To remember, don't dig back in. It's quicker, it's easier to dig in than it is to dig out sometimes. Have and keep on having faith in God. You see, all movement to answers in prayer happen in the spirit world. When you pray a prayer of faith, you don't necessarily see anything change in the natural. It's in the spirit. It's in the spirit realm. It's in the spirit world. And I mean, we can pray a prayer that can shake Japan. We can pray a prayer that can shake Africa. We can pray a prayer that can shake our city. And you don't see the results of it immediately, but you've released the force of faith. Prayer is invading and conquering the impossible. Prayer is invading and conquering the impossible. You don't just take a swat at it. You don't just talk about it. You don't just hit it. But prayer is invading the impossible and conquering it by faith in God. Get a hold of that. Invading and conquering. You don't conquer, you invade. You've got to launch. You've got to launch. Prayer is invading and conquering the impossible. See, we get a hold of this and we play with it. We go on to like a dog to a new bone. We play with it like a child and we toss the toy. Play with the box. Forget the toy. But God's saying, you know, church, if there was ever a time, I know people say, well, we need to get in the glory. I believe that. I love the glory. I love the presence of God. But my Lord, some people talk about the glory and they haven't even gotten out of bed yet. Can't pray a prayer that works. Can't pray a prayer that works. Can't live a consistent life. I mean, there's people, you see them come through. Woo! I'm not being foolish. Thank God for the glory. But you need to know how to pray prayers that work. Prayers that make a difference. Prayers that change you and others. Our church needs that. I need a core of people. You know, it's amazing. Do you know that the founder of the Muslims started with a core of 300 people? I just came across that information in the last few hours. 300 people. Abraham with 318 household servants that were born and trained in his own house pursued an army. I mean, these are not career military men, but they picked up something. And I know God spoke to me this summer. He said, all you need is 300 committed people. All you need is 300 committed people. I know more than that. Attend this church on Sunday morning, but all you need is 300 people. 300 people, 300 committed, 300 committed people, because out of that comes committed singles, out of that comes committed youth, out of that comes committed married couples, out of that comes committed whatever the, you see, but all you need, all Gideon needed, all 32,000 will not work. Oh God, 32,000, whoa! Let me send my story of church growth in to all the magazines. God said 32,000 won't work. But it's with that core that dares to invade the impossible and conquer it. God's calling on us, church, when we pray, to pray prayers that work.